Welcome back, and let's get these websites in. CAFR1, CAFR1.com to get, and they can go with a $3 fee. They can get 2 days of looking at your current version of the video. And what's it called again on your website, Walter?
The Only Game in Town, and they can share their link with a few friends and family, too, so they can see.
Yeah, for a couple days. And now, also, Gary, you are running for the 17th Congressional District. Give us your website so people can sign up, and if they can support you, then you need donations, you need prayerful and other support, too, because we need to get this moving. This is the year, 2010, where we turn this around or else, because I believe that with the California bill coming in and with the implementation of the cap and trade, this will be the final game that will implement the total global totalitarian state worldwide and destroy and wipe out the nation state's personal autonomy and personal property, and everyone will be a serf in a total scientific dictatorship with a world government based on a false premise of this cap and trade green bubble.
Yes, if they go to arnold.com, that's arnoldistheanswer.com. And that's with no spaces in between. That's arnoldistheanswer.com. And I'll tell you what you're going to get there. You're going to get all kinds of things. You're going to get free downloads of Department 7277. You're going to get the free download of None Dare Call It Conspiracy. You're going to get the free download of Dr. Anthony Sutton's America's Secret Establishment. You're going to get speeches from Henry V, the Shakespeare one, to John F. Kennedy's speech on secret societies. It is just laced with information and documentation. They're going to have a lot of fun on that website. That is arnoldistheanswer.com. And let me tell you a little bit about this district. This is a district where the present sitting CIA chief is ensconced. Leon Panetta ran from this district. Leon Panetta was involved with a person by the name of Hugh DeLacy, who was intimate with the sword spy ring. We were talking about Japan and the Reds and all that during the World War II. But the connections with Hugh DeLacy, in fact, Hugh DeLacy has a plaque on the courthouse steps here, and the California State Legislature at one time called him the foremost communist organizer and propagandist in the state of California, in so many words. But Leon Panetta is connected to a number of hardcore Reds, the son of Al Vibesi, who wrote the foreword to one of their big propaganda pieces. And he met over here at a building called the Nelson Loudon Center, and celebrated this communist's life together with his wife, who was a communist organizer for in Kansas. In fact, he signed a proclamation as comrade. So that's who we have as the head of the CIA. Now his lackey, who's in there now, is Sam Farr, who has endorsed all the Agenda 21 materials around here. He flew the United Nations flag at his congressional office until even Washington, D.C. became so embarrassed, and he finally took it down. He takes his trips to Cuba from time to time. He's for open borders. He's for everything they are. He's got the dummy socialist in the streets thinking he's for the people, when really everything he does is for the international bankers, whether it's NAFTA or all the rest of the alphabet things that the cartels and the bankers want. But anyway, if I can win this the primary, then we can take this battle all the way to November.
Absolutely. Now, you have a couple of websites, and I'm going to post up the links after the show today. California Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006. The website is opencarbonworld.com. This is crazy when you start reading this, what it's going to do. I mean, if you can summarize that, and then we have the ICLEI, I-C-L-E-I, to hold World 2010 World Congress in Incheon, Korea. This is posted up just March 22nd, 2010. Let's go over these two links where people can have a look at these documents. This is mind-blowing. You look at this and you say, this is why we're in the trouble we're in. And we have a globalist in the governor of California. We have a globalist in the White House, a usurper-in-chief. We literally are at the final stages of putting the icing and the cherry on top of the cake. We don't have to look for a future New World Order. We're facing it right now.
Right. Well, we talked about regionalization, and it took years and years, and even this year, he divided the United States into that 10 regions that was resisted for so long by executive order. There's a council of states now, and California
is the three.
He's also given diplomatic immunity to Interpol, so agents from the international community can now kill, murder, slay, and not have any responsibility whatsoever. They can move among us and call as they will,
right?
Or do.
Yeah, in other words,
they can be
from Canada,
immunity.
From they can
it,
be.
It's outrageous. This
yeah.
is a coup d'état. This is the bells ringing. This is the time for Paul Revere to get going. And nobody should be sitting on their couch after this program's over. They need to do something today and make some plans. We can win it if everybody stands up, because they're still running on lies, but they're executing their plan, and it doesn't look good. Now, you're talking about ICLEI. ICLEI is a front for the World Bank. There's 600 cities in the United States, and it's growing, daily. They contract with this front, and they adopt the Kyoto, the UN recommendations, and what it does is it so-called harmonizes the laws. It changes the laws that makes it easy for the acceptance of a North American Union, and that's what ICLEI and Agenda 21 and all these environmental things are all about. And at the same time, they're trying to take your livelihood away from you. They're trying to take your health care away from you. They expect to extinguish you slowly so they do not have to risk their perch. And we have enough people across the country with information that a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with. But now's the time to order a case of books or order a dozen DVDs. Get yourself a replicator, and those DVDs where you're allowed to reproduce them, get them out there. And that's going to help the producers of it, because then they can go on speaking trips, and other people will find out who's doing it, and they'll buy their other products. But you need to make a real effort right now with the truth.
Yeah, in other words, 2010 is when they're going to install this, not 2012. They want to have everything, and what I've heard is that by next year, they want to have world government a fait accompli.
My guess is they're afraid. I know that a lot of this information, a lot of you great people out there have been mixing in with these Tea Party groups, getting them more educated. You can make some progress there, but do not leave out the people that you sometimes have deemed the enemy, the leftists, the people that are against the war. This needs to be won across the political spectrum.
Exactly.
It's kind of like the blind men around the elephant. We see bits and pieces of it. There's no sense punching each other out trying to make it perfect. Let's just share our views and go after the eye of the octopus.
Good comments, Walter. Your comments about this, because this is the final, if you want to call it, this is the Donnybrook. This is the final battles. This is like Braveheart with a 12-foot long pikes and the heavy horses coming on over the highlands of Scotland. I mean, this is the final battle, isn't it?
I've got a download on my website, arnoldistheanswer.com, with Mel Gibson going back before the troops, talking about whether they're going to fight or they're going to lay in bed and wishing they did.
Yeah, exactly.
And the same thing with Henry V. There's some good, stirring stuff on that website.
Absolutely. Walter, your comments.
Well, just one notation. Braveheart is my favorite, which I've given out about 30 copies of and watched about 20 times. But the corporate, for-profit, gargantuan government, it's acting as a corporation now. As I mentioned, their number one liability is viewing annual financial report, because they had to keep their own records, and that's why not a peep, not a mention, not a word. Now, on my site, on the download directory, I keep track of how many things are downloaded, and I looked at last month's downloads. The Federal Reserve audit, the annual financial report for the audit, 17,000 downloads.
Whoa.
The audit of the IRS, 14,000 downloads. That's a lot of downloads. So, that's starting to strain the bubble of the corporate government U.S. New World Order because of disclosure and discovery. People are looking and learning. You can't change anything. You can't comment on anything until you look and learn.
Right.
And here, people are looking and learning.
Amazing. 180-some thousand CAFR organizations across the country, local, state, pension funds, etc. They're the new world order, aren't they?
Yeah, and you people out there, use those city council meetings and so forth. They usually have 2 or 3 minutes in which you can use it for a forum. Use that forum. Bring your information in there, make some copies, pass it around to the city council, and it'll go into their archives and more people will hear about it.
And join Jurisdictionary, and then use your Jurisdictionary skills to get into these city council meetings, these state meetings, these budget meetings, and then that's where the real business is. That's why we're being enslaved. That's why our business is being shipped to China, because they're making money, stripping us to the bone. Thanks very much, gentlemen. Amazing. Walter Burian, CAFR1, CAFR1.com, and ArnoldIsTheAnswer.com. We'll be back tomorrow with Harley Schlanger and Joel Skousen. World Affairs Brief. Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report, and we are joined by Walter Burian. We now have a full hour to talk about his remarkable new documentary. Your website, Walter, is CAFR1. That's CAFR1.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
CAFR1.com. CAFR1.com. And the reason for it is the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, which is the report that is the standard now since, I think, 1944, and not only America, but in local governments, state governments, provincial governments in Canada, other countries. And what it does is it's comprehensive. It's not really double books. The budget is only a small portion of this, and it selectively talks about money that's taken in and taxes and revenue and spent out. So when they talk about a $30 billion deficit in the California budget, their deficit's related to this sub-report, not to the comprehensive report, where in fact the state, as you mentioned yesterday, has at least conservatively $8 trillion from all the aggregate local, county, state governments, etc., and all these other funds, monies that have been made in profits from their investments over the past number of decades. So in fact, as you stated in your report, which is going to come out, you can go to CAFR1 and actually watch the video with a membership for, I think, 48 hours if they purchase it for $3. Very simple to do that, and then you'll soon be coming up with a final version as a DVD here sometime in the next few months. That really the solution is perspective. It's a smoke and mirrors game, and you're going to clear it up today. So I'd like you to kind of run through the basics so those people out there who've been, bamboozled, the moving shell game of finances and the complicity with local governments, as you said, the drug companies, the big insurance carriers and so on, are institutionally owned 65% to 85% by these governments and these funds, these pension funds and so on. So when Obamacare came out, it was simply guaranteeing the profit margins for these institutional investors.
You listened closely. You caught most of the points.
I'd like you to fill it in some more, though. Give us some more details and flesh it out.
Sure.
So what we hear, for example, when they talk about auditing the Fed, and I've had some funny questions when we talked about this yesterday, where people don't understand. We need to transfer the Fed, in a sense, under the Treasury, and we need to make it transparent so members we can get into their books rather than just, quote, auditing, because there already is an audit. The GAO already does an audit. The problem is, we need to find out what criminal activity they're doing. For example, the latest I heard is that Bernanke wouldn't say in congressional committee where, quote, $2 trillion went to loan to, quote, foreign banks. But what's really going on is something that should be illegal, but it's probably legal, is that they loaned all this money that they printed up out of thin air to these foreign banks, which they got a percentage on, to buy back U.S. Treasury notes, et cetera, and bad debt. So all this bad debt's being bought up by foreign banks to get a profit or margin on this money that's made out of thin air. It's amazing what's going on, isn't it?
Well, keep in mind, I mentioned yesterday that government outsourced a lot of their investment portfolios overseas. CalPERS International was one of the first, which created a multi-trillion-dollar allocation of funds to Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, Millennium Fund 2,
right,
and so forth. So keep in mind, I haven't broken down the data and the statistics. It has massive investment pools of funds outside of the dump fact, in different countries all over the world. okay? And I've never looked at how much of that investment capital is funneling back into the United States to buy up at 10, 15 cents on the dollar.
In other words, what's happening is this money is going to come back in when they do, quote, either devalue the currency sequentially over the next few years or cause sequential crashes. These investment funds will then buy up all the assets in the United States, both public and private, at cents on the dollar and acquire even more and consolidate their power even more over these assets.
Right, and it could be like, you know, you've heard on the news and complain, oh, these foreign banks are buying up America, this country's buying up America. You have to ask yourself, the money may be coming from foreign, but is that U.S. government investment capital that was placed in management groups that are now being utilized to buy up America? Because all the government holds within the country, okay, different pension funds, advanced forward liability accounts, self-insurance accounts, they're managed in the country. They're pretty much visible if you look. You'll see the transactions. You'll see where that money is invested if you... But when you have large pools of money offshore...
Yeah, so... You know, the, to buy Ports World...
No.
Yeah, so in other words, things like to buy Ports World, the banking structures that are in, say, Tel Aviv, et cetera, that are outside the purview of our investigators, that where trillions of dollars can disappear into this black hole, come back and buy investments and so on, but again, it's the institutional markets that are controlling it.
And when you say institutional markets are government funds.
Right.
Is a very small percentage of large companies, private companies, that are trading as institutional funds.
Right. So in other words, it's the governments itself that are taking over all the assets of the country, including corporations and these other, you know, if you want to call it quasi-government organizations, where they can buy them up too.
Let's go back to when Gorbachev went Democratic. You know, he looked at what the boys were doing here in the United States and said, hey, they have more control than we are. They're making 10 times as much. They wrote the better blueprint for implementing communism with a slight fascist twist. Let's follow their blueprint. So when you hear promoted on the TV, we're going to country democratic once they've learned the old ways, what they're saying is we're going to make this country and 100% subject to corporate takeover by government, utilization of productivity management of the entire population and resources of that country. Okay, that's the only thing.
Can you repeat that again?
Because
we cut it a bit. Can you repeat that, Walter? Because with your connection there, because that's important to repeat this this statement, because people don't understand what's going on. Is in a sense a takeover by these forces inside government of the very process of government, while they create a slave state, drive up taxes with this lie that they're short of cash, crash the economy while they devalue, for example, homes and so on, and then buy up commercial and other real estate at a cents on the dollar. And at the same time, they're stripping the manufacturing and industrial capacity in North America and shipping it over to China, like the recent sale by Ford to a Volvo to the Chinese.
And which United States local and federal governments invested about $2 trillion in China in 99 and 2000. So they have the direct benefit when they ship these jobs over to China, and they open up the doors for the flood of Chinese goods. Everything made in China, everything made in China. Well, if you actually check the companies that are producing this, you may even find the government here has totally invested in those corporations in China, so they're reaping the largest percentage of the profit.
Oh, my gosh. So in other words, the very governments that people are expecting to be the bastions of freedom, liberty, and representation are actually taking investments in pension funds and state assets and local assets, putting them in a foreign country and stripping the business of manufacturing here, reaping a profit, and then crashing the economy and then buying up the assets that are left
everything
in this country.
Everything at 10 cents on the dollar. Yeah.
10 cents
mm-hmm.
on the dollar. So, in other words, this is a criminal takeover by the, literally by the institutional government and local and state, et cetera, and not just in America. This is happening in other countries through Europe and Canada and elsewhere, where this kind of foolishness has been going on for a long time, since the 1940s.
I looked about 15 years ago, about 12 years ago, I came across an association, I think it was out of Germany. They monitored all governments around the world, and they showed their source of income, taxation, you know, and, you know, the U.S. was there also, and I looked at the, and I looked at all these other countries, and I said, damn, they have the model in place for 60% of the countries around the world that was built up here in the United States for corporate takeover. The nation has 100% productivity unit to be managed, and to funnel the revenue generated back into their own control.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. This is stripping back the facade. You know, when we talk about auditing the Fed's already audited. What we want is we want transparency of the members, and we want action against those who try to leave the building, as you say, to leave the association, so we can't see what they're up to in their criminal massive switching, bait and switch of the money. Back in a moment.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Welcome back, and we've got Walter Burian, and he's going to clear up a lot of confusion. Now, we hear about the move by Ron Paul and the conservatives to audit. It needs to go beyond, quote, auditing, because that's already been done by the GAO, General Accounting Office. What we really need to do is make membership in the Fed Reserve, number one, taken over the whole Fed Reserve system by the Treasury, so it's not a private club anymore. And secondly, membership requires transparency so we can get into their books and make sure that they can't do things. And if they don't, if they try to, quote, leave the room, we can literally bar them from doing business in North America, because what's going on is the fleeing of capital, the foreign kind of evil going on. For example, the Carlyle Group and other corporations have moved their head offices to Dubai, Ports World, and other places around the world where they are beyond the, quote, arm's length of our investigators to find out what they're doing with this money. And the $27-plus trillion, much of that went into these, quote, casino markets, where they're leveraged and getting ready as they start to crash the world economy, move to a whole new world system, where they're prepositioning themselves to gain and acquire most of the commercial and other assets, corporations, et cetera, not only in America but around the world. And everybody's part of this game. This game is an end game, isn't it?
Yeah, and that audit of the Federal Reserve I have up on my website. You'll see a big red staples button that says CAFR Downloads.
Right.
It goes into an alphabetical download directory. Go down to Federal Reserve, click on it, and you'll see their last annual financial reports for the last 4 years. Now, the collapse that took place at the end of 2008, which stripped the wealth out of the economy,
right,
not just here, but worldwide, this was done through the derivative markets. I was a derivative trader for 30 years, and what people have to understand is for every $1 lost in one account, a dollar is credited to another. And here we had probably $35 trillion change hands at the end of 2008 when they moved the market so fast. Crude oil collapsed from 144 a barrel down to 28, which if you were short, you made all that money. The stock market collapsed. If you were short, you made all that money. The U.S. Treasury bonds went up to set new contract highs, rates were proof up to 144. And if you were long, you made all that money. Precious
right.
metals collapsed. You made all the money on that collapse. They promote people losing money. They don't tell you who got the other side of the trade. Now, here's a prime example. On that red staples button, you'll see right above Utah, U.S. Treasury. Click on that one, and you'll see March 2008 Bank Derivative Report. Click on that report, and that is the Comptroller of Currencies audit of derivative trades.
Right. Yeah.
At the first page, on the first page, you'll see in the second paragraph, it's a 5 commercial banks are responsible for 97% of all derivative activities from all banks. Okay? Then go down two-thirds through the report. Okay, I think it's page 22 on
and
your
by the way, those 5 banks, you're probably going to tell us what they are, right?
Well, they'll see it when they download the report.
Right.
But here, I'll just mention the first. You go down to the table section, table one. Okay, there's about 17 tables, but look at table one.
Right.
J.P. Morgan Chase was king. Now, these figures are in millions, as noted right there in the top of the column, so you add 6 zeros to the numbers. Their net worth was $1.4 trillion as a bank, J.P. Morgan Chase. What do you think the derivative holdings were?
I'm going to make a wild guess. Just a ballpark. Say $34
trillion? Try 90.
Oh, no. I thought I was being ridiculous. So 90 trillion. So their assets are 1 trillion. Their derivatives are 90 trillion. Oh, my gosh.
Now, keep in mind, that's not JPMorgan Chase's money. They're clearing the derivative transactions for their clients, who are clients primarily local and federal government accounts. So the majority of that 90 trillion that was held at that point in time, March of 2008, was held in behalf of their clients. Primary clients were local and federal governments.
Right.
For investment portfolios. JPMorgan Chase was actually acting as the clearing agent. So now they pre-positioned in March of 2000. Their short position in gold, short derivative position, was $87 billion. Now let me qualify $87 billion. That's a value greater than the entire amount gold available for delivery held by all of the warehouses on the East Coast, for COMEX, which is the largest metals exchange.
Right.
Okay. So when you have a short derivative position, it doesn't matter if you own 1 ounce of gold, you take the position short. You blast out all the buyers, create a collapse, and the equity difference on that trade, you know, you didn't own the gold, you're locked. It's a casino. You now take the full value of the collapse. They did the same thing on the stock market. They did the same thing on the metals market. They did the same thing on the U.S. market. They did the same thing on the crude oil market. So as these collapses took place, or U.S. bonds shot through the roof, and the stock indexes went through the floor, these advanced forward derivative contracts that were placed in advance reaped the whirlwind of several trillion dollars. Now, at the time, March of 2008, which was right before the collapse took place, they had already had about a $1.7 trillion profit on their position. At the end of the collapse, I haven't seen the next report, it was about a $7 to $8 trillion, maybe even a little bit higher profit on that massive position of $90 trillion held. Now, let me qualify $90 trillion. Alan Greenspan in 2000, as quoted in the Wall Street Journal, said he was concerned about the $80 trillion a year worldwide market. So in 2000, the derivative market was approximately $80 trillion worldwide. Here in 2008, Morgan Chase, $80 trillion, greater than the entire world market derivatives in 2000.
Repeat that, because it cut out a bit. Repeat that last statement.
I just wanted to qualify the what $90 trillion is in a derivative holding.
Right.
Now, as quoted, Alan Greenspan from the Wall Street Journal in 2000 said he was concerned about the $80 trillion a year worldwide derivative market.
Which is only a tiny fraction of the real total derivative market, isn't it?
In 2000, it was $80 trillion.
Yeah.
So here we have 2008, government expanded the market because they were the number one investors rolling the monies and walking off with truckloads of cash on each trade.
Right.
And, manipulating the markets up and down. So here in 2000, J.P. Morgan Chase holding $90 trillion in value in derivative contracts. And the world derivative market was $80 trillion in 2000. I'm giving you an idea of the scope and
the
size.
The scope and the size of it. In other words, are we talking about quadrillions of dollars now?
Well, at the time the market hit its peak, it was about a little over 600. Now, people at the quadrillion market, what they're doing is looking at both sides of the transaction,
right,
buyers and the sellers. They came up with 1.2, but it's not actually. It's only was 6 trillion.
So it
doesn't matter, the key point is who owns it, who's controlling it, who's profiting from it. How's it being traded? Where is it deposited? Is it in Millennium Fund 1, Millennium Fund 2, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, for U.S. government funds? Okay. I want to go right back to the basics. This is
exactly
so important.
This is important because this explains why gold is suppressed and why the economy is the way it is, because everything's manipulation. Back in a moment with Walter Burian.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
I remember when I lost my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report and Walter Burian, your website, CAFR1, C-A-F-R, number1.com. Give us those examples that will explain the real processes going on here and the tremendous collaboration of criminals that are the institutional market that is the government that actually is manipulating and controlling the market, which is why gold prices are one-third what they should be, while the dollar has not collapsed yet, while all the things that they tell you are going to happen are totally controlled and manipulated by this casino marketplace that's actually driven by these globalists that are moving toward this seizure of world assets, not only in America but around the whole world.
Yeah, when everyone blames Wall Street, oh, it's Wall Street's fault. You have to look at who is the number one investor on Wall Street. It's not the public. It's collective government. Local and federal government accounts are the ones moving the majority of the paper and the volume. The public are the minnows. And government management institutional accounts are the sharks. They constantly school minnows to one end of the pond or the other end of the pond to feast. And they've been doing so for the last 40 years.
Wow.
Now, here's the key point for comprehension. If people grab this one bit, they just start to open the can. Every one of us, every listener to your show, if you're the truck driver, the dentist, the doctor, run a real estate company, maybe even a factory, you own several factories, you're an industrialist. You always keep a running total in your mind, cash in hand, investment totals, and what your net worth is. We all do, since we're little kids up until when we die. I don't care if you're the Biafran with 2.5 rice bowls in poverty, you have 2.5 rice bowls and what condition they're in. Okay?
Exactly. Yeah. What condition those rice bowls are.
Here, in cooperation with the syndicated media, controlled education, both political and the government body, they created an entire vacuum and void in the comprehension of an entire population of the most basic fundamentals stands with us each and every day since we're little kids up until when we die. Okay? I find it amazing they pull that off, but then you always have to say, look at the money involved. They have unlimited cash flows, best psychologists, best marketing strategists, you know, to do the job, and done it. Okay? So when you look at your city, your county, your state, or in the federal government, you have to look at what is the true picture of all the total cash income, total investment, and the net worth of that entity. And when people say, oh, this is too, I can't understand that. Wrong. If you can understand your own personal finances, you can understand any local comprehensive annual financial report that are written, be read by somebody with an grade reading skill. That was one of the guidelines when they prepared.
What grade reading skill did I cut out? What grade?
Eighth grade. A lot of congressmen and senators were going to be reading them.
Right. That's quite funny. So, in other words, what we have is a situation of complicity of the governments that know this. And while we have people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Shriver, his wife, of course, Kennedy, that what we're really dealing with here is a situation where the governments of the world have contrived to take over all the assets, primarily the American government and local and state. And what they've done is they're the buyers that are controlling the marketplace now. They're the ones that are literally ready to buy up at cents on the dollar the entire means of the economy and the assets and impoverish the public and turn us into feudal serfs where they become the overlords.
Yeah, and they'll give just enough to keep the on the treadmill, generating the most productivity because they're off the majority of the productivity. Okay? So, you know, it's all about the money. They've been saying it for decades, follow the money, and roadblocks were thrown up nonstop to make sure, and distractions thrown up to make sure that the public never got a solid grip on following the money to the money involved. You know, that's why they never mentioned the comprehensive annual financial report in over 60 years. Because it showed the money. It showed where it was being invested. Okay? It showed the structures they had built up generating amounts of money. So not a word. They promoted selectively created budget reports which showed where tax income was collected and spent primarily. Now, you'll see investment funds on the general purpose operating funds, but they're very small in comparison to other investment funds shown on the annual financial report. Now, I make a note here. Local government, city, county, and state, on their annual financial report, they will not list where the money is invested, when, and, you know, what the standing balances are of each individual investment. They give consolidated financial columns. So what I suggest for people to do is to dedicate retirement fund, CAFR, by due diligence laws. They list every investment. They list when it was purchased. They list value and the totals. And I have the New York Retirement Fund CAFR up on my website. So you can download the, you can look at the listing of investments, the thousands of equity companies, domestic and international, the bond issuances, the buy up all the stock in one company and then loan them $1 billion from the same fund to guarantee that they're going to do well.
Now, if we add something in the mix here, let's say we throw in the mix, which we're going to discuss in the third hour with Gary Richard Arnold, 17th congressional candidate, what we're dealing with is the 2006 cap and trade bill, which was passed in California, and it's going to come in full effect at the end of this year. Now, that is, in a sense, a green bubble, guaranteeing yet another way of sucking more capital, creating more taxes, more revenue for this system that they've erected. Is that right?
I haven't looked closely at it, but I believe what you're saying, because it applies to every single policy decision. Every
right. So, in other words, Obamacare wasn't about health care. Obamacare wasn't about health care at all. It was about guaranteeing the profit margins of the institutionally controlled or government-controlled health care, so-called private health care insurance companies, HMOs, and drug companies, which are internationally 65 to 85% owned by, quote, the government. So when they put in this policy, they're just guaranteeing their profit margins. While people don't get better health care, they may get forced to buy a policy which is against the Constitution. But on the other hand, they may water down what is in that policy. So yet there'll still be rationing of the policies, and the profit margins are now guaranteed for the drug companies for another 10 years, so they can make massive super profits at the same time. So it has nothing to do with health care. It has to do with chipping the population. It has to do with the private army. It has to do with the executive branch passing an executive order in a bill in process, so that executive order says we're not going to pass money, but it's not fungible, meaning they give this money to a hospital, they're not going to be able to say it's not going to be used for an abortion clinic. So everything they've said is a bold-faced, in-your-face, arrogant lie. Right?
It's the wizard behind the curtains, saying one thing, and then the underlying core reality is strictly guaranteeing themselves their own profits and their own holdings.
Right. So, in other words, it's a takeover of the world.
One second. The New York State Retirement Fund, when you look at that, that's just one. Keep in mind that's one. They'll give us a large one.
Right.
Take a look at the listing of investments. Pick out the pharmaceutical companies. Pick out the financial institutions. Pick out the war industries. You'll see, and the oil companies, they are the number one profit makers, where they're pulling in 400, 500, 600% profits a year. Okay, and this is just one showing. Now, if you looked at the top 100, large efforts, you probably established by adding up the totals, 50% ownership of these different companies.
Should we repeat that again? What percentage?
All of them.
What percentage ownership again, Walter?
If you looked at the top 100, say largest comprehensive annual financial report,
and
broke down the ownership.
Right.
The different corporations, pharmaceutical, oil companies, probably there in itself you'd be over the 50% mark. And if you looked at all of them, you're talking 75, 83%, 82%, 81% ownership of these companies. The private sector is insignificant at this point in time.
Wow.
Government has been driving up the stock values, and people don't realize this. How can the stock be going up? It can't be going up. Earnings don't equal blah, blah, blah. The reason being, inflates their own book values by driving up their own stocks, creating a bigger power basis.
Wow. And it's the same reason why gold is suppressed, because of the same marketplace corrections, and not $2,000 or $3,000 an ounce. We'll be back in a moment with Walter Burian. And, we're not just talking about as a whistleblower, as an insider. You tried to put up the TRF funds model, and tell us about what happened to those people that tried to put this model, because once you do it in one municipality, one area, one part of local government. It can be replicated thousands of times across state, federal governments, other countries. And once this proper audit is done, you can graciously set TRF funds to replace taxes and simply not even touch your capital. Even the interest on the investments could pay off all the necessary disbursements, whether it's for police and firefighters and health care and everything. And that, and so
now,
you
started National Disclosure in June of 98, did 130 radio programs, broke the ice on the biggest game in town.
Right.
In 2000, I started working on finding a large bank so we could target one city, one county, one school district, do a complete audit, statistical review, and prepare a TRF fund, which would generate the revenue to meet all and satisfy all budgetary obligations for that local government. In other words, getting the model up on the playing field where, you know, when that model is up, it's game time. 1,000 other venues would follow by example.
Right. I mean, in other words, once people get this model, it would simply wipe out taxes, and the economy would come back like a beach ball bouncing to the surface after being pulled to the bottom of the pool. Right.
Correct. Now, the first backer in 2000, I met with him down in Phoenix, gave him a full briefing, and I said his name was John Wayne Zadar, and he probably had a net worth of about $60 million. And he goes, Walter, I said, I need a large heavyweight for to make this happen. He goes, well, Walter, you found your heavyweight. I'm committing to $3.5 million now, and I'll give you a cap of $7 million to get the job done. Well, yeah, I was a happy puppy, and I said, everything's going forward in motion. And I said, when are you going to make the delivery on the $3.5 million? He goes, within 10 days. There was another guy that was working with him on another group called the Isaacson Society, Sean Rice, who said, well, JW, send the money to me. We'll allocate it to Walter to make sure, you know, we keep track of how the money is spent.
Right.
So JW allocated it to Sean. Sean turned out to be the undercover FBI, you know, plant to take down JW for an offshore investment trust he was running. Okay. SWAT team raids came down on JW. They confiscated all his assets, froze everything, including the 50-some-odd million in the offshore fund. They fronted up a SEC Ponzi scheme against JW, being that he was promoting the fund in the U.S. and he wouldn't register it with the SEC. They gave him a cease and desist order. He didn't comply, saying that he didn't have to. They tagged him, confiscated everything he had, froze the trust offshore. The investors for the trust got back half of their money after 8-9 years, being that, you know, in conversion, they forgot to mention all the standing assets were there. But in conversion, when they sold off everything at 20, 30 cents on the dollar, that left the investors with half of their money. JW was thrown into jail for 3.5 years, pending trial in Seattle, Washington. They had their little Ponzi trial against them and convicted him to 30 years.
Okay? Whoa.
They took him out. Hook, line, and sinker. Second backer came forward 8 months later. It was from Georgia. I was getting buried out in press every day to take me down. I mean, they're using my kids as the attack weapon and so forth. Nonstop criminal corruption in the courts. This was Prescott, Arizona. And Bob Brutinel, William Kiger, city attorney, Feldmeyer, the county board of supervisors, they're all networking to make sure Walter got taken out. His business destroyed. It's a family attack. And, you know, the worst attack they can do against you is they attack your children.
Right, so
they dangle the abuse of your kids in front of your face when you can do nothing about it. It rips your heart out through your chest and your brain out through your nose.
Right.
They played that routine on me nonstop. So I was getting ready to wonder, especially just waiting for JW, who was going to put a $3.5 million, and that didn't happen, so I was real tight. Dennis goes, well, the attack against your kids, Walt, here's $5,000. Get an attorney. Got an attorney. He goes, hey, well, there's $35,000. Move out of Prescott. I moved down to Mesa. Took out a rental, four-bedroom rental house. Got a furnace, myself, my son, and the family dog. After I got settled, 3 months later, he goes, here, Walter, here's $150,000. Trade yourself some in the futures market. You were a commodity trading advisor. Make yourself some money. So on December 10th of 2001, he pops in with $150,000. I put $100,000 into a trading account. By December 20th, 10 days later, I'd taken it up to $240,000. Sent him back $185,000, which was everything he pitched in, and was still in good shape. Now, Dennis was now promoting to get $3 to $5 million together to target one county. And being that attack was going against me in Prescott, you know, from the corrupt politics, he used to know an FBI director, and he contacted him, and he was sending letters to the U.S. Attorney's Office trying to get an internal affairs investigation going against the lawyers in Prescott. Well, he couldn't understand why they wouldn't contact me. What actually happened there, everything I said up to now I know is fact.
Right.
But what I think happened was the state AG in Prescott called AG in Rome, Georgia, where he was, saying, what do you got on this guy? Can you take him out? Dennis had a civil action from 4 years earlier, just sitting, you know, dormant in the court, regarding an international investment transaction.
Right.
Which the guy was disputing. They came in and reverted that into a complaint in Georgia, which says if you spend $400 of misappropriated funds, you can be arrested. And what happened first was Dennis's wife, who he was divorced from, all of a sudden she starts getting access to all of his business accounts, investment accounts. He finds a couple $1 million stripped out of his accounts, and his balance is standing at $100.
Oh no!
Now keep in mind, she was very well politically connected from where he was from. Now he gets a court order for her arrest for unlawful conversion of his business assets and a custody order for his child. He goes where he found her through a private investigator. The sheriff stalls for 4 days, and I said, Dennis, they're setting you up. He goes, oh, don't worry about that. A couple of traffic accidents. The sheriff couldn't make it out. I said, listen, if they had an armed robbery going on in a host situation, they had an arrest warrant, they knew where the person was, they'd find someone to serve it. So they served the arrest warrant, they arrested her, but to his dismay, did not honor the custody order and let her new boyfriend drive off with his child. He flies back to Georgia to enforce the custody order, and I said, setting you up, Dennis. He goes into court, and he goes, I'll call you after court. Goes into court, I don't hear from him again. Exercises $1 spending in Georgia. Arrest him, released his wife to be the star witness for the prosecution. I think she may have even driven home in his BMW. He sits in jail for the next 18 months as they strip him of anything else they find.
Whoa.
Okay. Then they send him into court, for this charge, and he wanted a judge trial because the judge rule on the law, and the law was state of Georgia had zero venue, none, on an international transaction. The judge goes, nope, you're going to have a jury trial. So, first day of the trial, the judge goes to the jury. Well, there's a question of venue here. We're going to let the jury decide it. After prompting from the judge and the prosecutor, the jury goes, okay, state of Georgia has venue, which is totally illegal because, the jury is supposed to determine the facts, not the law.
Yeah, they can't determine the venue. Yeah, that's actually illegal. Yeah.
Correct.
For the judge to do that, I know that. Yeah.
I know, exactly. So
they don't have jurisdiction.
Dennis, as a month before sentencing, the day before, the morning of sentencing, 65 years old, had one traffic ticket in his lifetime. He goes, well, I'll probably get the probation. I said, Dennis, they've slammed you at every turn of the pitch here. They're probably going to give you the maximum. No call game came after a sentence.
Right.
They gave him 10 years. They gave him 10 years.
10 years for a traffic ticket?
No, for this $400
transaction.
$400 in Georgia regarding the international transaction, which they fronted up.
Wow.
They looked for a way to take him out, and they took him out.
Wow.
Now, also, Dennis, they put him in. Now, they throw him in prison for 10 years. He got out on probation after 3 years, good behavior. Finds out all of his credit cards, which had like 700,000, million, three credit balances.
Right.
About 10 cards. Somebody ran up all his credit cards to maximum limits. While he was sitting in jail.
Oh, no.
They tagged him. I mean, people get masterfully entertained. Well, do we watch The Simpsons tonight or South Park? Let's make it The Simpsons. Masterfully entertained. As these boys behind closed doors within government, they can rip you apart, kill you, destroy your family, destroy your friends. Everyone's sister in La La Land being masterfully entertained. As their entire productivity wealth is drained right out from their pockets under their nose.
That's amazing.
The definition of syndicated organized crime.
Walter, you know what I'd like to do is I'd like to get you back on hour three for a while I have Gary Richard Arnold, because this we need to continue this story. Can we get you back in about an hour for a while?
Sounds good. I can do that.
We'll do that with Gary Richard Arnold, because I don't think this story's gotten up before. And now I got a real clear idea. This is going to piss off more people than even the depleted uranium issue or other issues like the genetically modified frankenfoods. This is like the Rosetta Stone of why we're where we're at right now in the criminality of our government literally taking over the world economy and getting ready for a whole new world system where they're the overlords and own everything. Back in a moment, Hour 2, our Health and Wellness Hour, and Hour 3 coming up. Gary, Richard Arnold, and Walter will be back.